Welcome back to No Sevens. Today we are reviewing The Batman, starring Robert Pattinson, Zoe Kravitz, Jeffrey Wright, Colin Farrell, Paul Dano, John Turturro, Andy Serkis. Those are all the relevant people. Sorry, Peter Skarsgård, but you just didn't make the cut. Oh boy. I have been waiting to do this review pretty much since we started this show. Because we've been waiting for this movie for a long time.
Have we?
Yeah, we've been waiting for The Batman for a long time.
Okay.
We? Speak for yourself, big guy.
I don't mean we, like literally the three of us. I just mean we as a society.
Once again, speak for yourself, big guy.
We the people. The Batman has been in production for a long time. We've been waiting for it for a long time. Okay. I'm not referring to any like specific. Okay. I'm just saying the general we.
I guess this is not the first Batman film we have reviewed. At least not the first film to feature Batman. So.
Because we did Justice League.
But solely dedicated to Batman? True. Yes. This is his title film.
Yeah, I wouldn't even consider Justice League to really be a Batman film.
I wouldn't either, but he was there. Anyways.
Well, let's just get into the non-spoiler reviews.
Let's get into it.
This episode is, I'm going to really, really try to not dominate the conversation. But for like the one person who listens to this podcast and does not know, I am a longtime avid Batman enthusiast. So this is kind of the big
that's putting it lightly.
You know, I think I've mellowed out in my old age, but
good.
Anyway. All right. Well, what did you guys think? Go ahead, Caleb. I'm expecting a little bit of retribution for my comments about Spider-Man. So,
I'm glad you saw it coming, because this is a major under for me.
What?
Yeah, no, it was just, I watched the trailers and the trailers looked good, but boy was I deceived.
Wow. I'm genuinely surprised by that.
Edward Cullen, Robert Pattinson was not the move. I could not look past the Twilight, his Twilight stage. He came out being all emo. Not going to spoil anything, but no, yeah, it's going to be an under for me. It's insanely long. I feel like there was less fighting than there should have been. But anyway, I'll keep it at that for now.
Wow. Okay, man. This just escalated massively.
Yeah, I got to admit, I was not expecting that, Caleb. I thought it would be a more unanimous agreement.
This is not just you being salty about Spider-Man, right?
Why would I ever be salty about Spider-Man?
I don't know, just...
All right. I'm just kidding. I loved it. No, I loved it. I mean, I was just like right then, I was trying to think, like, what could I possibly dig about? Like, I had nothing really to say. So, no, yeah. It's an over.
Savage.
For sure. So,
you had me going there for a minute.
You fooled me for sure.
I had to get you back a little bit for the Spider-Man hate, but... But honestly, I can't, you know, I couldn't keep that up for long because, yeah, I really, really liked it. So it's an over, and we'll talk about the details. But, yeah, loved it.
Well, this is going to be a less controversial episode than I anticipated. I was ready to pop off. I was like, when we get past the spoilers, I'm going to put this man in the ground.
I should have kept it going.
Drama.
I should have kept it going, but, yeah.
Well, also an over for me. I have some other stuff to say, but we'll save that for later. Definitely over. Enjoyed it a lot. Yeah.
Hard over for me as well, if you couldn't tell. I mean, I thought Robert Pattinson was a great choice. I thought he did a really good job. I thought all the casting was really good. The visuals were amazing. This is really maybe the most beautiful Batman movie. We can talk about that, but man, this looks really good.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a lot to like about this movie.
Before I forget, you mentioned the casting, which y'all know I'm terrible with actors and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The one casting choice I could not get over was, well, I don't know if this is a spoiler. I'll wait. But remind me to bring this up after our spoiler section. I mean, no, there's no way it's a spoiler because it's in IMDb, right? I mean, like, I can say who was what and a certain character appeared in the movie. Would that be a spoiler?
I guess not. I don't really know what you're talking about.
You're not talking about the end of the movie, are you?
No. So Carmine Falcone.
Yeah.
That actor, which I don't know his name, but
John Turturro.
All I know him from is Transformers.
Oh.
And I could not get past like how I know him in Transformers. And so it's hard for me to take him serious as like one of the most menacing, you know, characters or villains, however you want to look at it, in the movie. But I mean, he did great. Not a dig against him, but it's just like I could only see him in Transformers as being like that annoying guy in Transformers. It was kind of a similar, you know, antagonistic character. But yeah, that was the one where I saw him, and like once I recognized him, I was like, oh, really? That guy? it seemed like a big role and a serious role for him. So
he's also in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
He is. Apparently. Yeah.
I, for a little bit, when he first showed up, I thought, I guess we're getting into our spoilers now, but I originally thought that he was the actor who plays Marv from Home Alone. I was like, that's not Marv, right? But I was about
to. Are we going to do?
Yeah, we can get into spoilers. Are we
Yeah, I was about to say, let's
spoilers.
Do a spoiler.
3, 2, 1.
I can't think of anything.
Nobody really dies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's not really
expecting to die.
The Joker makes a cameo.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe at the end. So yeah, it's hard to spoil anything. I mean, it's like a typical. There's not like a major death or anything like that.
The city floods.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotham floods.
Man, where to even begin with this movie?
Where to begin?
I wrote down. Go ahead.
I mean, I was trying to think about it chronologically and just relive my first impressions. And the first thing I think hit me was the narration. What did you guys think of that kind of choice?
You mean like the opening?
Yeah, yeah.
Sequence where he like narrates?
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. It reminded me kind of like how a lot of comics start off. Where they'll have the little boxes where the character is like kind of narrating their thoughts. I think that he actually does that in The Long Halloween, which is maybe Batman Year One, maybe both of them.
I just watched Batman Year One like last week or 2 weeks ago. So, yeah.
Is that a movie or a cartoon or what?
Is it like an animated?
Both, yeah.
Adaptation of the... It was originally a graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
But a lot of those get adapted into like animated movies.
Yeah. I liked it because it set the stage and it kind of built the world, you know, pretty quickly around the timeline. And, you know, obviously most people know the origin story of Batman, but... I did appreciate having those kind of like inner thoughts being narrated, you know, by him. So it was cool.
Yeah. I also liked the very like first like intro where it says like that, like flash the title card on screen, but the music was like, I think it was like, was it the Ave Maria thing or it was,
I don't think it was Ave Maria. It was like something that didn't really fit Batman or wasn't your stereotypical.
Oh, yeah, but it was so cool. Yeah,
it was like very like not what you expected, and it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is interesting.
Yeah. My gut reaction with the narration was, no, I didn't like it at first, but then I quickly got over that. I liked it. I also liked how they didn't go straight into kind of setting up the backstory, because everybody knows the backstory. I think they kind of touched on that later on, which I thought was a good choice.
Yeah. I was looking at like one review and somebody was like, or he was just a Reddit comment, but somebody was like, I never need to see Martha Wayne's pearls go bouncing across the road ever again.
Yeah. No, it was cool. The timeline was different than, I guess, how we've traditionally been presented. You know, I feel like, it's hard to say. So, and by all means, David, at any point when I'm speaking out of turn or against canon or anything like that, just let me know. But I just feel like, you know, with other Batman films, it's like I always just envisioned this was years and years ago. But, I mean, it was basically taking place, as far as I could tell, kind of modern day, based on how he described the events and the timeline of everything. So I don't know if that is the case or not, but that's kind of, it was cool to see it, you know, proposed like that.
Yeah. It just takes place whenever there's no real time.
I mean, we see some gravestones, like, you know, for certain characters who did die. And so it was like, that was the only indication to me of when things happened. So,
I guess we would consider it present day.
What else jumped out at you guys?
Well, maybe we should break down some of the performances first.
Sure.
It's so hard to know where to even attack this movie because there's just so much. I have so much that I want to talk about.
Well, then I say, David, you know, I know you mentioned at the beginning that you didn't want to dominate the conversation, but this is one of those times where I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Because
you have his blessing.
You're the expert on this. Of course, I have seen plenty of Batman movies, I guess, you know, all the ones that we've all probably seen, but definitely don't have the emotional connection or just like the, I just take it for what it is, kind of like a lot of stuff. And so I'm curious to hear it through the lens of a self-acclaimed Batman enthusiast.
Okay, well, here's maybe a good question to start off. And you guys can answer this before me to kind of contextualize it. But what did you guys, first of all, think of the way that Bruce Wayne / Batman was portrayed, both in terms of like Pattinson's performance and also kind of the way that the character was written? Because it was pretty different, I think, from what we've seen.
Yeah. I personally, and I kind of talked with Caitlin and Hayden about this after the, like immediately after the movie, we all sort of agreed, but as Batman, he was amazing. It was like one of the coolest Batman ever because he was just so, I don't know, well, vengeful, I guess is a good way to put it. But, I mean, just like hardcore, was not messing around ever with anybody. Like, it was just awesome. As Bruce Wayne, it got to the point I was like, all right, he's like a little emo boy. Like, he's always in his feelings. It was never like the truly like baller Bruce Wayne like Christian Bale was. You know, like Christian Bale stepped out in Gotham and, you know, as Bruce Wayne, and he was like the local celebrity. Everybody like knew him, loved him. He was that philanthropist and stuff like that. But I was just like, it got to the point where I was like, I wish that Robert Pattinson would have given us some of that, or like that this Bruce Wayne would have been written like that a little bit to show just how baller he is, you know, that he is involved in the city and, you know, that he can have everything he wants as a normal citizen, but he also chooses to use his skills and everything, his knowledge and money to be this hero behind the scenes. It just seemed like there wasn't a lot of that stark comparison. Basically, Robert Pattinson, or you know, he just seemed, he was the same person, like just without the suit on. It just didn't seem like there was much of a duality of his personality.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I think you hit it on the nail on the head there for me too. He seemed just dominated by his moodiness. I don't know if there was a couple times where he, yeah, I guess there was a couple times he stepped out, but he didn't really do anything like you said, Bruce Wayne-y, at least at what we've seen in the past. And I think, I don't know, a couple times he's just like running around in a hoodie with like a mask on. And I didn't really understand that. And he's got, I don't know if he has the makeup on already, or I think there's either one or two scenes like that where I was just like, why not just put the suit on, or, you know, wear a big coat over it or something.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So I agree that he did not have very much, or he didn't have as much of the like duality that we're used to seeing with like the kind of Bruce Wayne, Batman persona. I thought he was kind of, not unlikable in the sense that I didn't like his performance, but as a character, the way he played Bruce was kind of like, he played him as kind of a little bit of a less likable person, right? He doesn't have that same kind of degree of, I guess, playboy charisma that, heretofore, so far, I don't know what
good.
I said.
No, no, I like it. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
That, right, like if you think about everybody who saw, like even, I think Michael Keaton was a fantastic Bruce Wayne, actually, but like from kind of all of those performances up to this one, generally Bruce Wayne is portrayed as being very outwardly charismatic when he's in the public sphere.
And is he ever kind of not like that in the comics?
Not really. Not that I can think of.
Okay.
There is sort of this like element that kind of generally runs throughout of like Bruce Wayne is not really like the, and you see this a lot in like Batman Begins, for example. Like Bruce Wayne is not really the identity and the persona that he feels like his most himself, right? Like Batman is really who he is, right? And when he is focusing on his work as Batman, that is kind of like his true identity, right?
I think the Riddler like talked about that, didn't he, towards the end?
Yeah.
Where he was like, I'm who I am in the mask or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. And yep. in Batman Begins, for example, it's very pronounced that Bruce Wayne is kind of putting on this front of him being this very like carefree kind of playboy billionaire persona, right? And in Batman Begins, he has this interaction with Rachel Dawes and is like, she's kind of disappointed that he's basically behaving so immaturely, and he's kind of trying to like communicate to her like, I'm just doing this basically. He can't reveal his real true reasons for it, but he's kind of conflicted because he doesn't want her to think that that's really who he is, right? And Robert Pattinson's Batman doesn't really have any of that. He doesn't really have any interest in kind of creating this like fake persona.
No wonder it was so easy for the Riddler to know who he was.
Yeah, so what I suspect will happen, and I actually love that. I think that people in general will be disappointed with Robert Pattinson's performance. I think people will be most disappointed by the way that he played Bruce Wayne. But I think that the way that he played Bruce Wayne and the way that they wrote him was actually really good. Because if you think about it, this is a guy whose parents were murdered when he was a young child. He suffered like pretty intense psychological trauma and has spent essentially the past 20 years of his life sculpting himself into the ultimate, like, vigilante, and spends his time going out at night and beating up these, like, street level thugs, right? So, like, and he's obsessed with this. So, like, to be fair, like, the concept of Batman in general, like, kind of his whole vibe and what he does is really pretty irrational and abnormal, right? And so for him to be a character who, like, kind of cultivates this charismatic vibe all the time when he's kind of in his, like, civilian persona, works for the character a lot of the time. But if you think about it, it's like, okay, it makes sense that he would potentially be somebody who is kind of, like, more the way that, like, I liked that he played him as kind of almost this, like, awkward,
like, loner character. Type.
Yeah, like, he, like, some of his interactions even with Catwoman are kind of, like, just, like, there's a tinge of, like, social awkwardness there, which makes sense because he hasn't been, like, focusing on, like, cultivating a well-rounded social life for the past 20 years. He's been, like, laser-focused on, like, becoming the, like, guy who can, like, put down a gang of street thugs single-handedly.
Right.
So I appreciated that they played him that way, as Bruce Wayne. What I suspect, or what I would like to see maybe, is I think he's on track for a trilogy, is what the current word on the street is, based on his contract or whatever.
I wouldn't be mad about it.
Yeah, I suspect in, like, potentially, like, the second film, particularly if they go the direction that I suspect they will, that might be kind of a subplot where they kind of addressed it a little bit in his first interaction with Alfred, where he kind of realizes, like, okay, like, I can do my work as Batman, but I also have a lot of power just as Bruce Wayne. And he'll kind of, like, I think we might see him step into that role a little bit more. Maybe not as, like, particularly, like, cultivating a kind of a false charisma designed to, like, throw people off the scent, but more of just, like, him also recognizing that he has responsibilities as Bruce Wayne to help the people of Gotham in a more public way, in addition to being Batman. I suspect that's kind of where we'll end up, maybe in the second movie. Yeah. But I think we'll have to learn how to do that.
Yeah, and that's what I thought was kind of interesting, why I mentioned the timeline earlier, is because, like, I'd never really considered how old Batman was, or, like, in most of those films, you just assume, like, you just get kind of placed right in the middle of his stint as Batman. But there were some comments made at the beginning, you know, they mentioned it was 20 years ago this night that my parents were murdered. And so I don't know exactly how old he was when they were murdered, but, you know, 6 or 7, probably. Really young.
I think he's 10.
Okay. So he would have been 30.
Don't quote
me. You know, I was.
Yeah.
And I was trying to, like, put him in my mind, like, okay, how does this guy relate to me? And I think he had only been, quote unquote, he had only been Batman for, like, a couple of years at the time that this movie, you know, that we kind of are placed in this timeline. So in one way, maybe we're seeing, like, the young Batman, to where he hasn't crafted, maybe, like, in other Batman movies that we've seen, maybe he's been doing it for 5, 6 years, you know. And so it's like, you know, you have to think about all that stuff. And I think maybe that's exactly kind of what you're talking about, David, is that he has done this. He's now, like, he's gone through, like, you know, one of his boss fights, and now he's going to start becoming more and more, like, just well-rounded as both Bruce Wayne and Batman. So, yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, and I hope people come around to I haven't heard a whole lot of, like, opposition to the way he played Bruce Wayne, but I hope people, if they are, I hope it is appreciated, because I think one of the things about Batman, we talked about this when we talked about Spider-Man. Spider-Man is very relatable because he's kind of, like, he has got a lot of, like, normal everyday faults in addition to kind of, like, his superhero issues, whereas other superheroes in this case, Batman, right? Like, it's hard to relate to somebody who is a charismatic billionaire just in their everyday life and also opts to, like, fight crime, right?
Yeah.
So I think just making it a little bit more like, okay, like, let's acknowledge the fact that, like, he's a little bit touched in the head to just be, like, acting this way, and he's not, like, not everything is not, like, easy for him.
More of the nuance.
Yeah, it gives a little bit more flavor to it. That's what I love so much about this movie is I just thought there was so much flavor in there. I don't have a better way to describe it than flavor. It's just really rich.
It was really good. Let's talk about maybe some specifics. David, did you have any other thoughts running through your head? Because I feel like there's so much we can talk about this movie. So some things, like, I'm thinking we can kind of run through this at, you know, whatever pace or whatever topic. But, like, you know, there's, like, the iconic things. Like, what did you think about the suit? What did you think about the Batmobile? You know, the tech that he used. Like, I just think there was a ton of cool stuff that we hadn't really seen in other Batman films. So we can talk about that, or we can talk about story. I'm just trying to, like, there's a lot I feel like this episode could be.
Yeah,
we've already gone almost 30 minutes, so
we can branch into that. So
yeah,
we can also talk about his portrayal of Batman, which I thought was phenomenal. I thought he was a great Batman. Man, you could just tell that based on his jawline alone. Wow.
I did want to touch on that too. I thought it was really interesting how we saw him more of the detective. Like, you see him at the crime scenes doing so much more, like, looking at clues and analyzing things. I thought that was really great. And I thought you would probably appreciate that too, David.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite things about this movie. It was a true detective, like, mystery movie.
Yeah.
It was like a great mystery psychological thriller.
Bit of action in there too. A lot of action. And it was good action too. Like, it didn't skimp on any of those things.
Yeah. It was, like, exactly the right dose of violence to where it was, because you want to have like a scene where he beats up some thugs and, like, fights some people. You want to have that. You want to have at least one good, like, Batmobile, like, vehicle chase type scene. That was great.
That was really good.
But it was exactly the right amount to where it didn't overwhelm the fact that this was a detective Batman story. And I thought that was so refreshing, especially since we live in a time where, like, I love Marvel movies, but there's a lot of pressure for superhero movies to be very superhero-y and grandiose.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a very welcome departure to where he's a superhero, but this really isn't about him, like, taking on these like galactic threats and stuff like that. It's really about him kind of flexing in a way that, like, a lot of other superheroes can't, of, like, being this kind of, like, detective sleuth type of character in addition to all his, like, superheroic. And I like that, because this is not I don't think this is a Batman that is going to be, like, teaming up with the Justice League, right? Or doing any of that kind of stuff. It's a much more down to earth take.
Yeah.
So I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's great. Very refreshing. I also appreciated how it was more. It seemed to come back closer to the dark, like, realistic, and instead of, like you were saying, kind of the super played up, like, superhero movies that we're used to seeing. It was, like, very real world, you know, practical effects for the most part. There were, you know, limited special effects and things like that. And I can't help but anytime, you know, and rightfully so, the Christian Bale trilogy, I mean, that kind of, like, set the bar for modern day Batman movies, at least for probably our generation. And so, and those were, you know, the ones that I saw that kind of, like, I was like, man, this is awesome. I really liked that style, and it really brought that back to this movie, where it was very dark. It wasn't like cartoony at all. Like everything about it, I thought was just really. There were no like supernatural threats, which is as common as that is now. It was so nice to finally see like, yeah, this is just a gritty, grimy city with a bunch of terrible criminals in it, and we've got this guy who's just like just wailing on them. So yeah, it was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so definitely love the Detective Batman. I think that's going to be something that comes out in a lot of reviews. It's just really people enjoy that a lot. As far as some of the stuff you mentioned earlier, Caleb, like the tech and the suit and like gadgets and all that stuff, I absolutely loved it. I thought the suit was awesome. When they first kind of released some photos about it, I wasn't like totally sold on it, but after like getting to kind of fully see it in action, it looks pretty sick.
I'm still not fully sold on it. The nose piece straight on angle was kind of an issue for me. I didn't mind the profile of it, but straight on, it was like I just kept looking at his nose over and over again.
Yeah, that I was gonna say. The only thing that I would maybe tweak about it is the cowl, just like a little bit in terms of like the. I didn't mind the nose, but I think just like kind of the the material and the shape a little bit. Just I think it would be nice to get maybe like an iteration on that in the next one. But I thought the armor looked so good, and like the chest plate and all that, just kind of like the material and the way it was shaped and the way it layered on each other, it just looked really, really good.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love the suit. The Batmobile was awesome.
The Batmobile was awesome.
Yeah, it was really like, it was just like this like muscle car, off-road, crazy, I don't know what.
I like how we saw the engine beforehand, like in pieces, as he was like assembling it or repairing it or whatever. And then we see the car. That was a nice little tease.
Yeah, it seemed like he was assembling it, right? Like it seemed like at the beginning of the movie, like he hadn't even finished like making it. And like kind of like halfway through the movie, he actually like gets it to the point where he can like take it out and use it. And that was just like, it was good.
The chase with the Penguin was great.
Yep.
That was, oh my goodness, that was so good. And just the way it was shot, everything about it, I mean, it was amazing. I thought it was so funny there at the beginning when like the car first fires up in the alley. It does kind of like, it's like, it was like the human version of like when you're like chesting up with somebody and you do one of these where you like jump at them. And then because that's what the Penguin did. Like the car kind of just did one little lurch and the Penguin flinched, you know, like he just like got scared. I thought that was so funny. That was like, I mean, it might not have, you know, intentionally it was supposed to be funny, but I got a little kick out of that because it's one of those things. Once again, it's like it wasn't this crazy, weird technology. The car didn't look out of this world. It just looked like David said, like this old muscle car that was obviously with a turbine engine on the back. So a little bit different, but yeah, I just thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem as like impenetrable as other Batmobiles in the past, you know, like Penguin shot that sucker up and you know, it was bulletproof glass, of course, but I mean, it completely shattered, distorted his vision and like view and everything. So there were just a lot of little details that I was really pleased with.
Yeah. I also like that he used a lot of, like he really put his like utility belt to use and like had a lot of his gadgets and stuff like that. And it was very like, I think probably the most just like gadget or like tech dependent Batman that we've seen in a way.
You saw that. I don't know if I agree with that. I think Christian Bale's is probably a little bit more so. I mean, he probably saw more.
Here's my thing with that though, is Christopher Nolan has a particular like way that he does like tech in a lot of his movies. You kind of see it in Tenet, and we'll probably talk about that when we actually review Tenet. But all of the like tech that he likes to use is like very in all of his movies is like very like it has this kind of like very like elevated and almost like refined.
It's a futuristic kind of yeah.
Yeah, it's he really likes to ride that kind of like this like layer of like futuristic but not quite right. He kind of is like. It's just realistic enough that it like it could really be a thing, but it's not something that really is common, right? And a lot of the Batman stuff, like his cape that can like inflate to take any shape because of the electron stuff, or like when he's got his little like bomb gun thing that shoots out. All and even the Tumblr and like all of that stuff, all of the Batman tech in the Dark Knight trilogy is very like has very like precise applications, is very mm-hmm. like very refined in its manufacturing. It's like all coming from this like military grade like R&D type stuff, and when he uses it, it's pretty like precise. Right, like he doesn't necessarily carry around a lot of tech with him, but he has very specific applications for the tech that he uses. So he'll like go into a specific situation with a plan to use very specific tools. Whereas this Batman, I think, is more like he carries around kind of whatever he thinks he's going to need. Right, like he just kind of we saw him have that little like stim pack needle thing. Hmm. Like yeah. He just kind of had that on hand. Like he just has like a lot of stuff kind of like on his person. He doesn't really know when or how he's going to use it, but he knows that he might need it.
The squirrel
and bust
suit.
It out. And he's got like a real utility belt, whereas like the Nolan utility belt was pretty like slim and not really like I think he had probably some like smoke pellets and stuff in there, but he wasn't really carrying like a full, like a really robust kit or anything.
I see what you mean.
Like batarangs and like smoke pellets, and then he would bring in like very specific tech elements to help him with a very specific task.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of what I mean.
I gotcha.
Yeah. But I really liked the almost like homemade like DIY, like it didn't look like DIY to the point of it looking bad. But like, you could tell that like he had made a lot of this stuff himself, right? Whereas like in the Dark Knight trilogy, he kind of gets Lucius to help him out with a lot of that tech. And I enjoyed that kind of like shift of
yeah.
like, getting to see like him kind of really doing a lot of the work himself on that stuff.
What did you think about? Which I don't know if this has been a major talking point, but you know, Robert Pattinson as an actor definitely seems on like the thinner side of the spectrum as far as like his physical appearance. So did you have any thoughts going into it? Like how was he going to be too skinny? I mean, obviously he bulked up for the role, you could tell, and he was still extremely ripped, but like, I feel like Ben Affleck was like just thick, and then Christian Bale's probably kind of somewhere in between. But Robert Pattinson seemed especially thin. Did you think anything about that, or was that something that you just kind of didn't notice or think about?
No, yeah, I was definitely concerned about it going into this movie, because it was pretty clear that he didn't really seem like he'd done any. Certainly not anything like what Christian Bale did to kind of physically prep for the role. I mean, that story is just ridiculous. but anyway, if you don't know, basically he had done a movie called The Machinist where he had like was playing a very, very skinny person and had lost like a ridiculous amount of weight.
Yeah, like unhealthily skinny.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's just what Christian Bale does. He's master at, like, these body transformations. Yeah, and then he needed to audition for Batman Begins or do a screen test or whatever. And so he had to put on like a ton of mass like very quickly. And it helps it if you've had a ton of mass before, right? But still, he put on a ridiculous amount of mass very quickly and was actually too big for the suit when they started filming. So what they did is like all the scenes in Batman Begins that are like him as Bruce Wayne, or like particularly where he's like training and he's shirtless and all that stuff, they shot that while he was like extra big. And then after he like cut a little bit of weight, they did all the scenes where he's like actually in the suit and stuff like that. So anyway, that's a sidebar. But obviously Robert Pattinson did not go through that kind of a transformation. And then Ben Affleck is like based on a very particular interpretation of Batman where he is particularly just like this like massive brawler type of physique. So I really didn't I wouldn't expect Robert Pattinson to like go that direction. And it's pretty clear that this wasn't the direction this movie was going to take anyway. I was a little concerned about it. I wasn't overly bothered by it in the movie. I would have liked him to look a little bit more physical, I guess. Because he didn't look particularly... Like, he just looked like a relatively fit guy. And certainly to a degree, it's possible that that's enough for him. Because, I mean, if you've seen any, like, MMA fighters or anything, they're not all, like, guys who look just, like, outrageously jacked. But they've built up the strength and they built up the technique to be really good fighters anyway, right? So It's not necessarily out of the realm of possibility that just looking like a generally fit guy, he still has the strength and the technical prowess to perform the physical feats he needs to. But I didn't feel like that was one of the things that I would have liked to see a little bit differently. In this movie is, I would have liked to see him maybe an extra 10 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
And I would have. Yeah. I like the fact that he wasn't outrageously huge, just because now I feel like I could get a bat suit and wear it and people wouldn't be like, "You're not jacked enough to be Batman." I'd be like, "Did you see the movie? He's not jacked at all." So now I actually did look. There's a replica bat suit on Etsy for like about $2,000, and I can't say
do
I
it
think about purchasing it.
Wow.
Maybe not, maybe next year. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of other stuff I could do with $2,000 at this point.
So no, surely not year. That's funny,
man. Yeah. Can you imagine getting to be Batman for Halloween every year though?
I mean,
obviously you might cool. You might have to become one of those people who goes to like the hospital for like kids who are sick if you invest in that.
Yeah, that, I mean, that could be fun. But
oh, yeah, that could be a blast.
But anyway. So we haven't really talked about like any of the actual plot or story or anything like that. So maybe let's start down that route. Maybe the last note I'll add to the overall Batman review, you know, talking about different aspects of the character. I did think it was so cool, which I'm not the first person to say this or notice, but the fact that they showed like his eye black makeup was once again one of those small details where that's one of those things when you see other Batman, you see, obviously, you know that the makeup before they shot the movie they had to put eye black, but like to see it where it's like, yeah, he has to put that on because the eyes don't literally cover up every inch of his skin, so he does that. Like, I thought that was cool, pretty unique to show like it on his face and rubbing off after the night or different things like that. So that's kind of my last little tidbit or review of him as Batman.
Yeah, true. This was a really, really. I don't think this will be the definitive take on Batman. I think I think the Dark Knight trilogy has that cornered. I mean, I think that's always going to be the gold standard, is the Dark Knight. But I think this will go down as an essential, a pivotal, you know, a must, a
installment.
Must know. Yeah, must. Yeah, critical. Must watch.
Yep. Yep. All right. So the story. I mean, I don't know where we want to start. If we want to talk plot or just overall. I mean, there's a lot of aspects to this. A lot of famous, well-known villains. You know, in the story. But the first time, to my knowledge, I mean, not literally the first time, but of the modern era, let's call it, where the Riddler is the main guy. So, what do you think about that, David?
Loved it. Last time we saw Riddler was when he was played by Jim Carrey in Batman Forever. And that wasn't great. he does actually show up in the TV show Gotham, which started off well and then kind of went downhill. And Gotham had a good take on him. It was pretty interesting. In Gotham, in that show, he's like the forensic like coroner, which was interesting. He kind of like goes down a dark path. But I loved it. I thought Paul Dano was the perfect choice for this. If you've seen, what's it called? There Will Be Blood. He's in that as the, I don't know if he's the antagonist or the, he's somebody in there. I don't know.
The villain.
The villains. Yeah, I don't know if you could really characterize anybody in that movie as like the good guy. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but he's just kind of this. He's in that. He's very good in that, and that was the only other thing I'd seen him in before. But when they cast Paul Dano, I was like, that is a great choice for the Riddler, just based on that performance alone. And I thought he knocked it out of the park. I thought it was great. Riddler is kind of like an undersold Batman villain. I think he was perfect for kind of establishing this like detective Batman.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, so Riddler was 100% the right call for this movie. I thought that the just kind of having all these like different elements and like the mystery was not really like catching the Riddler, I don't think, right? Because essentially Batman like kind of like does everything that the Riddler, he just kind of like follows the Riddler's instructions basically, right? And so like there's never a point where he's like necessarily like out and out trying to catch the Riddler. It's more about this bigger conspiracy that's going on in Gotham and kind of uncovering that as well,
right? So you guys mentioned it earlier. You mentioned like maybe that's why it was so easy for the Riddler to know who Batman was. I didn't necessarily pick up on like that part of the story. I mean, clearly he knew who Batman was. But what are some of the things you guys think like gave it away, or did he say that? Was I just missing it?
I was kind of just joking about that because he's like being the super moody, super billionaire guy whose like parents died, you know, like
yeah.
I was just that a little bit, but
okay. Well, I mean, if you look around, like connect the dots, it's like okay, this guy clearly has money. Whoever Batman is, because he's doing all these things, yeah. So and then, like we said, when you're stepping out in the public and you're also basically the same guy, you're just all sad and emo, then it's like, wait a second. you look just like Batman except with no mask on.
Yeah, I mean, traditionally, or like when done best, the Riddler is hyper intelligent, hyper calculated, very strategic about all his stuff. So I think just kind of based on what we know about his intellect, it's no surprise that he kind of figured out who Batman really was. I think he just figured it out just by being a really, really smart and observant person.
So if I understood correctly, he was just like a regular accountant by day, and
I guess so.
the Riddler by night. I feel like they said that he worked as an accountant for
He was like some kind of auditor or something.
Yeah,
I guess so. Maybe he was working remote. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's not a good look for accountants. They already had a rough. They already got rough stereotypes, and now they have the Riddler to compete with. So, not a great look.
But, yeah.
Okay. What about let's maybe talk Catwoman or talk other aspects of the plot. What'd you guys think?
Has Catwoman always been this like? I mean, I know she's been kind of a love interest for a long time, but has she always been this like anti-hero? I think Anne Hathaway probably played her a little bit more on the villain side than this one did, but even still, like, has she always been like that, David?
Not always, but relatively, I would say within the last 20 to 30 years, maybe a little bit longer. I don't really know. But definitely in relatively modern times, that's typically how she's portrayed. Is
interesting.
She's not really 100% a good guy, but she's good enough for Batman to hang out with her and be romantically involved with her and all that kind of stuff.
Team
and
up kinda, every now and then.
Yeah, she kind of like goes up and down as like what her lines are depending on their relationship status. Yeah. So, yeah, that's not particularly that particular piece of just her being kind of this anti-hero character is not particularly new in and of itself.
How about this version of the Penguin? What'd you think of that?
Oh, I thought he was really good. I mean, I thought Colin Farrell did a really good job.
Oh, man. If his goal was to make people hate him, then yeah, he knocked it out of the park. It just, everything about him, I feel like more so than the other villains, I was just like, what? Oh, I just want to punch him in the gut. Because it's like, that's what's so annoying is about like all these mobsters is like, they're not physically, like, it's not their physical prowess that makes them bad. It's nothing, like, it's because they're rich, they're slimy, and they've got this whole group of people to protect them, and they've got, like, puppets behind the scenes and that's what makes you, like, so mad. I was like, oh, I so badly just wanted, whenever Robert Pattinson was in, or when Bruce Wayne was in the club talking to him just as Bruce Wayne, was like, or no, he was talking to him as Batman. Like the first time. I so bad, I'm like, dude, just kill him, because it was just so annoying. Very, very good at playing the villain.
Yeah, I thought he was a great character. And they did props to the makeup team for the prosthetics.
Yeah, I didn't even realize until I looked at the cast on this that he was Colin Farrell. I didn't even know.
Yeah. So really good job there. I thought he was good. He was a good, like, kind of Penguin is just supposed to be slimy. Like, that's just what he is. He's just slimy. And I thought he pulled that off really well. I liked the scene where they're like, are you the El Rata Alata? And like, he's like, what? Don't you speak Spanish? It's La Rata. And that whole like exchange was great. Like, it was like just the right amount of kind of like lighthearted, but also like realistic of like, just kind of like not all of the dialogue is going to be like this, like perfect, like eloquent and like, like, it's just kind of like, yeah, it injected this kind of like dose of realism into the universe, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was great.
It was especially funny when they had him handcuffed by his hands and feet, and he had to waddle like
a penguin. Oh, I didn't even think like, about that. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I thought like that was just one of those little details, like touche. Yeah, it was funny. Yeah.
I tell you what else I liked about this. There's just the plot in general, kind of how it ends. I was a little concerned that. So obviously, there's kind of like the arc with like his parents' background and like are they actually as good as he thought they were and all that stuff and da da da. And it's kind of like, well, actually, they're kind of not, but still, they were nice at the end, I guess.
So. They're nice.
It's like, well, your dad got somebody murdered, but it was an accident. So at the end of the day,
not his fault.
He was gonna do the right. Yeah, it was kind of like, yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, we wanted him to scare him, but he killed him.
My bad.
Yeah,
my bad. And then Carmine Falcone's like, well, what was I supposed to do? Like, yeah. That's just so, like, it's just weird. Yeah.
But I was concerned that this movie was going to be, like, too political, I guess. And not necessarily because I have any like political agendas that I'm for or opposed to. I mean, I'm sure there are, but just because I think Batman needs to strike at deeper themes than kind of like current events. And I was a little bit concerned that it was just going to be kind of like this, like that the thing was going to be like, oh, Bruce Wayne's rich and he has to like come to terms with, like, I'm rich and I'm privileged. I was a little worried that they were going to, like, go some weird angle with that, and I'm glad that they didn't and kept it really grounded in, like, universal truths and that kind of thing. They kind of, like, there's some discussion of that, but not in a way that felt particularly loaded to me.
Yeah, it didn't seem forced or like
right
intentionally like over the top.
Yes, it didn't seem like it was the moral of the story. It just it felt like it integrated into the actual universe that they were in.
Yeah, it seemed pretty seamless, not like it was a big intentional thing.
Yeah, and I think that's what will kind of, I think that'll build into the second one probably, is him trying to step into the Bruce Wayne half of his life with a bit of that. Mm-hmm. But what I did like about this movie was that it hit on deeper themes, but I think it also spoke to the times that we're in. Because at the beginning of the movie, like, Batman is particularly, he's particularly dark, and he's particularly vengeful. And there's the line at the beginning where he's, like, fighting these, like, street thugs. He's like, I am vengeance. And I had watched an interview that Robert Pattinson had done with some of the other cast members, and they were doing something with like Vanity Fair or something like that. But he had talked about how in his mind, Batman is kind of going out and like going after these like street level thugs rather than more like high level criminals at first, because that's who murdered his parents. Right. And so in that way, it's kind of like he's trying to like recreate the night that his parents were killed and like change the ending or something like that. I don't remember exactly how he said it. Right. Mm. But he's basically targeting these like street level thugs, 'cause that's kind of what resonates with him as like who the enemy is. And he's particularly vengeful about it. And then, as the movie goes on, he kind of deals with these like higher level enemies. Right. But the bad guys at the kind of like the climactic moment of the movie are all these like followers of like Riddler, like his little acolytes that he's like radicalized. And I thought it was so relevant without being like overly like dated or like time bound, that like the villain in this movie are these like kind of like radicalized, like just like hard, like hard to, you know, whatever. End of the.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Like they're just these people who have just been, they're disenfranchised with society. They think that there's like, there needs to be this like massive upheaval, and that violence is the path forward in that. And I just feel like there's a lot of, they're on the fringes, and I feel like there's a lot of that just like out there, in the water today of like division and like people out on the fringes and like angry and like all that kind of stuff. And like, that's kind of scary. And I thought it was poignant that it was like kind of like the villain in this story, but not in a way that makes it like, overly like a parable for our current times. And I like that what happened was the kind of the moral of the story, like what happens is like Batman becomes kind of like a unifying figure, right? And at the end of the movie we see him doing some heroic stuff, and it's not him beating up bad guys or that kind of thing, but it's him helping to be kind of this literally guiding light, right? Like there's a scene where he's like, he stops fight, he's done fighting people, and he goes and he starts pulling these people out of this like wreckage, and he's leading them with his like his light out of this like, you know, chaos
swamp,
right? Yeah,
city.
And there's that that shot is great. And the more that I think about it, I'm like, wow, that's just so great imagery there of him leading them with his light, his little flare. Right. And then in kind of like the early morning hours, he's still helping to kind of like rescue people and get them medical attention and all that kind of stuff. And he realizes that vengeance isn't the answer. He needs to be a symbol of hope. And yep. I thought that was just great. Of like, he kind of comes to this place where he's not just kind of out here trying to like battle these like street thugs anymore and like kind of like take his own personal vengeance. But it's like he's reached this deeper level of realizing that he can fight against the evil that's in Gotham, but also almost has a responsibility to be like a symbol of hope and unity in Gotham, and kind of this like beacon of what Gotham needs to do in kind of like unifying and strengthening themselves, and kind of like all that spiel that the mayor had at the end of the movie, and just kind of like, yeah, it felt like I feel like the past like 2.5 years or whatever, however long it's been, 2 years, has just been like this total like cultural rebirth for like the entire world, as we've just gone through like this like kind of global weirdness, and like kind of everything has been reshuffled. Maybe reshuffling is better than rebirth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to me it felt like this new Batman was like exactly what I needed at this time in my life and in the arc of history, and was like, it was like the kind of like
the arc of history,
whatever. I don't know what I'm saying at this point anymore.
Yeah, I don't either.
Right.
To be honest,
I'm really trying to articulate the sense that I got, but I'm just doing this off the cuff, so I'm sure it's not making any sense.
I get it. So you're like about to cry. You're like, I just needed this Batman.
It was just like,
it felt timely.
The tone and the message and just the way that it all played out felt like it paralleled the experience of the past couple years in a way that was appropriate without it, like in 10 years or 20 years, you would watch this and be like, oh, wow, that's really dated. Or really like,
right.
specific to like that time period, right?
Interesting. Yeah. I did not pick up on that, but
I don't
I could kind of see pretty, it.
The parallels to our current times are maybe a little bit more just my personal feeling about it. Is a little bit more intangible, my subjective opinion. I did like the arc where he like comes from, like goes from vengeance to being like more like a beacon of hope in general. And I loved, I loved the sunrise scenes with him.
Yeah, like, that's cool.
Ugh, just the lighting and like the aesthetic there. And just like
David,
the whole vibe. So good.
Yeah, it was cool. But when you were describing kind of those people on the fringes that, you know, the extremists that the Riddler, I guess, converted or whatever. I mean, the only thing I could think of was like the people of Portland. So,
yeah, sure.
I was thinking that the Riddler was basically just like a homegrown terrorist broadcasting his message on 4chan or whatever it is.
Yeah
like exactly.
He's like a Twitch streamer, you know?
Yeah.
And then didn't he when they showed that video, he was like, "Hey guys."
Yeah. That was everybody chuckled. Yeah, everybody chuckled because it's somebody like, "Hey guys.
Hey guys, I'm back. Welcome back to my channel."
I actually thought that
was gonna take over really and kill the Batman.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, it's just like, I think it's just a time of like where like truth is harder to find, and so there's people like the Riddler who can kind of like create and put out their own truth into the world and just like lead people down crazy roads. And I thought it was cool to see Batman like trying to be an emblem of a symbol of real truth and real hope and real unity that Gotham needed. Maybe that was, I don't know if I.
Yeah, that was a good summary.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Silas, when you're editing this, just cut out the past.
The huge chunk.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Was that bad? Good. I mean, no, it was
not bad.
But that's the kind of commentary that only you can provide, David, because personally, I have not, nor will I ever think that deeply about a movie, probably.
Well, and I didn't pick up on that either. Like.
But it was.
I don't know if that was. I don't know if that was intentional, but that was just the way that it made me feel.
Yeah.
It was just it just felt like, I just feel like this was the right Batman for right now. Like, I don't know if you made this movie like 10 years ago or whatever, or like switched this with the Dark Knight trilogy. It's just like, I don't think it would just work. I think it just wouldn't work on the same way. I don't know.
Well, it's like more based in reality, I guess, now, like you were saying. Like people, anybody can just broadcast their message out and lead people into whatever weirdness they want.
And I mean, I think that's a general thing that happens with movies is like the villains that we create in our stories are kind of like parallel the kind of villains that we feel like we're facing or that we like wish we were facing, right? Or like that,
which I think makes it so much better when, you know, art can imitate reality or at least take inspiration and make something of their own from it.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of other like examples that we could find of that, of like, oh, this is what was going on at this time, and these were like the types of stories that were being told and villains that were showing up, and then as things went this direction, like it was a lot of these types of villains and that kind of thing and whatever. But I think this movie is one example of that principle. Trying to think if there's anything. You guys have any other comments on the story?
No, last little thing I can think of is, I mean, once again, this just reinforces my deep desire to have a motorcycle. The amount of motorcycles scenes in this movie, I was like, yep, I still want one, you know, because every winter I go through the, like, well, I'm kind of, you know, I'm like, I guess I'm not, you know, in the motorcycle phase anymore. Then I saw this, I was like, no, I'm definitely still in the motorcycle phase.
I do want to talk a little bit about the visuals and the music, but before we do that, I want to open the floor and say, is there anything that we didn't like about this movie? Because I don't want to end on the things we didn't like. I have a couple things. So,
I mean, I think my biggest thing was just the thing we talked about with like how Bruce Wayne was portrayed. Like it was a little weird, but I get it, I guess. So that was pretty much it.
There were a couple scenes. Go ahead, Silas.
I think probably just that. And then I think there was probably a little bit of fat on this movie that could have been cut. Like it is a pretty long movie. I think there's,
yeah.
And I can't think of anything off the top of my head. And I'm going to say this and put a caveat with it too. I did fall asleep for a short period of time in this movie, but it was because I was running on like 2 hours of sleep. So
yeah,
that's my caveat. But it was towards like the beginning ish part. So I think there was probably some scenes in there that could have been cut just in the editing floor.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really long.
Yeah. The length didn't bother me personally, but I'm kind of biased. I agree that there were like a few scenes that I was like, this is a little bit heavy on the moodiness. Like where he was like spray painting his floor. I was like,
oh,
this feels a little bit unnecessary.
Like you could have done it on a computer.
Yeah. Or just, you know, a piece of paper.
A wipe.
It feels a little bit weird that you need to like spray paint this on your floor in order to solve this mystery. But that was, I think maybe they did that just for the aesthetic of being able to have the
overhead shot.
Yeah. There are a lot of overhead shots in this movie now that I think about it. Or maybe I'm just...
No, you're right. There were several.
But it feels like
there were several.
Yeah. So there were some parts that just felt a little bit over the edge moody. And I didn't love all of the pieces of the Batman Catwoman romance.
You didn't love them all?
Yeah, there were times where I didn't think that they lacked chemistry, but there were just there were a few times where it felt a little bit rushed or forced isn't the right word, but it was like the scene where he puts the little lenses in her eyes and then he's like looking into her eyes and it's like he's checking the lenses but they're also like intense eye contact. I was like, I felt like I needed a little a little bit more time for them to like just like interact and build trust before we got into kind of the kind of escalating romantic tension there.
Yeah.
And it was also a little weird that he was like replaying his footage of her.
Oh, right.
Like from his lenses. I was like, what is this? So, yeah. It was a little bit, that was one thing I didn't like about the way that they wrote him, is they like wrote him a little bit like creepy in that regard, which I guess kind of makes sense. And it's not like a deal breaker for me, but
I mean, if he's an unsocialized guy, like you were talking about before, it kind of fits.
Yeah, like it fits, but it was just a little bit like
in a creepy way.
I would have maybe just done that a little differently.
Yeah. Right.
That's maybe something. Maybe we could have left that on the whatever the editing room floor, cutting room floor. What is it?
Same thing.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe that's one thing. And was there something else I didn't like about it? Maybe there was a third thing, but if there was, I guess it was trivial enough that I forgot about it. So, oh, I remember. I didn't like that Catwoman swooped in to save him when he was hanging on the thing at the end. I was really hoping that they would do something different because he was like hanging there and the guy was about to shoot him. And I was like, please, please,
please shoot him.
No. Do anything other than having Catwoman swoop in and save the day right now, because that is exactly what I knew was going to happen. It's exactly what everybody knew was going to happen.
It's too predictable.
And, It was too predictable to the point where it was supposed to be like a tense scene, and it wasn't, because I knew that the last second Catwoman was going to swoop in and take him out, and he was going to be fine.
Gotcha.
And so I wanted them, I knew he was going to be fine either way, but I wanted them to at least get him out of that jam in a way that I would not have expected.
Yeah. But well, I thought that Commissioner Gordon was going to, well, I guess he was, he wasn't technically the commissioner, right? In this movie?
Not yet. Yeah.
Not yet. No. Yeah.
I really liked him in this role.
Yeah. I thought this was a great Commissioner Gordon.
There was a time I thought he was going to betray Batman, but, or not betray him, but like there was a moment, I don't remember the exact scene or whenever it was, but like I was like, uh-oh. Like even now he doesn't trust him anymore.
Yeah.
But then it was like, it might have been that when they were all in the jail.
Yeah.
And so like, many cops.
You too?
Yeah, so many cops. I'm like, there's that, you know, they're all chasing him to the roof. I'm like, are there any cops patrolling the street right now? Because like just they were every hallway,
an
like,
army was, of cops.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. And just like the noise they were making, like, yeah, like just all like running after him. Yeah. That was kind of, I mean, unintentionally funny, but it was one of those little bits that I laughed at.
Also, the police chief's voice was so sick.
Yes, oh, yeah. Yes, that was hilarious.
He's like, hey,
you got 10 yeah. minutes, Gordon.
Yeah,
you got 10 minutes.
I can't even do it.
Yeah, it was so very mouthy.
Yeah, it was very high pitched in like
New York or like Boston. Yeah, New York,
I
Boston.
I don't know what it was. I want to call out one other thing that this just reminded me of. I really liked all of his little like mistakes, like how he like crashes when he's like doing the wingsuit and all that stuff. I liked that they kept in all these kind of like little instances of just like things not going according to plan for him, or like him messing up or like having trouble and like all that kind of stuff. I just thought that was a nice touch.
Well, that kind of probably lends itself to the, like Kayla was saying, early on in the Batman arc, you know, he's still figuring things out.
But his little squirrel suit was cool. Like,
was
cool. That he was able to, like, glide down through the city streets. So that was cool.
Yeah. I'm sorry, though. Yeah. That crash, he should have been dead.
Oh, yeah. He,
like,
I was
slammed
at least
right
broken, like,
into the top of the.
Every bone in his body.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
That
was rough. I feel like there were a couple moments like that. Like, just, I mean, of course.
Like, the penguin would probably be dead, too, after his car rolled like that.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's why I leaned over to Caitlin. I said, not a single airbag deployed.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think about that.
Like, that wasn't an old car. Like, that was a brand new, you know, that was like a brand new Aston Martin or something. Yeah. It was a nice car. I was like, really? Not one airbag.
Doesn't speak too well of the safety ratings.
Yeah. Maybe they disabled them for the mob or something. Like,
maybe.
You know?
I don't know. That's maybe a good segue into talking. I just want to touch on this for a little bit. But just the like visual aesthetic of this movie, because after he crashes, there's that shot. It was in the trailer, but the shot of him walking towards him
upside down. Like, dude,
like a bat. I liked his slow walk.
He walked slow all the time, like especially on the crime scenes too. You know?
Yeah. I like that.
Or like in the alley.
Like, yeah, he just emerges from the shadows.
He just heard the dink of his boots, kind of like spurs. The old Western movies, like kink, kick, clink.
Yeah.
What other shots did you like, David? Because just from the top of my head, like not a lot of shots stand out or stood out to me.
I liked, I think not just the shots, but like the visual aesthetic of this movie was really good. Because they... like in the Nolan trilogy, Gotham is like very kind of like almost like sterile or like austere in its kind of industrial aesthetic, where you have a lot of like just like kind of like flat, clean edges and that kind of thing to a lot of the sets and the scenes and that kind of stuff. With this, it was a lot kind of like grittier and like more gothic. I think, like, if you think about like the interior of like Falcone's,
even the like, interior of Wayne Manor, holy cow.
Yeah.
That
I was like,
cool.
Whoa.
Was it hardwood and grave?
Yeah.
There was one shot in particular at the beginning where it was like shot through a crack in like the roof or something. It was so, I'm like, that's the first thing I noticed. And I typically don't notice like the artistic piece of, you know, of the way it's shot. Which of course I can't remember the exact, but I was like, okay, this is incredible. Just the way that the angle and the perspective that it put on the subject. So, but I wish I could remember. It was definitely towards the beginning though.
Was it probably at this, like the skylight at that guy's house at the crime scene?
See, well, maybe, but I thought it was on Bruce.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I liked the, I just like the visual aesthetic of this, and just like, yeah, like the interior of Falcone's like little lounge space was one, because he had those windows that were like circular, and they had like this like kind of like industrial feel, but still gothic. And that was like kind of like flowed throughout the whole. The Iceberg Lounge had that too, and like just kind of like the streets and like all that like kind of had this just like this texture to it that was really really nice, and it's something you don't really get in the Nolan trilogy because that's not really Christopher Nolan's aesthetic, I feel like.
Yeah.
So there was just kind of like this like texture to all the set pieces and everything.
Gotcha.
That felt really good. And then I liked just like a lot of the use of color, right? So like that shot where he's like,
I did like the color a lot.
Yeah. Like the, I loved all those like sunrise scenes. I loved the kind of like the, where he like falls into the water, from cutting the like electrical thing. Mm-hmm. And there's like the police car has like crashed or whatever, or been like washed into there. And so the like siren lights are like casting that like alternating like red and blue, like tones across the water and that kind of stuff. And, I like that shot where he's like walking at the overhead shot and he's like leading all the people, and just like, there's a lot of just like, yeah.
How about the music?
Oh, I like the music was great too. I also like the shot. I just thought about this where it's like the first murder scene where he like, I don't know what happens, but like the,
where when he's like standing behind the guy
on the floor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was also, well, the carpet thing like ends up on the floor and it's like a shot from the floor and he like walks over to it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, yeah, when he was like standing behind the guy and the guy like moves and he's just like right there.
That was really good.
Yeah. Really creepy.
I like the music too. I like actually noticed it in this one. Sorry to just change the subject on you.
No. Yeah. I like the music a lot. I was a little bit concerned at the beginning that it was going to be a little bit too much of that like main motif, and it ended up not being. I've listened to the soundtrack now and it's it did show up a little like kind of a lot in the beginning, and I didn't love that, but I think that's kind of minor. I liked it a lot. Michael Giacchino is the guy who did the soundtrack, and he is, I think, one of the more underrated composers of our time. He's done a lot of stuff that you've heard that you don't know that you've heard. But he's great and does a really good job. And he puts more effort into his song titles than any other composer, I think.
Oh.
Basically, all of them are like puns and wordplays. He's really quite, I appreciate it. Just that he's got like interesting track titles for all of his like scores and stuff.
Yeah, gotcha.
Although not all of the puns and wordplays are actually good, but
he put the effort in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like enjoyed it a lot, and I actually noticed it, which I was kind of surprised by, because usually I don't probably pay as much attention to that as you do, David.
Here's some song titles from this one. Crossing the Feline, Moving In for the Gill, Funeral and Far Between, Collar ID, not like collar like collar, but collar like a dog collar, like the guy who had the collar on. World's Worst Translator, which I think must be the scene the scene where they're interrogating Penguin. And I liked my favorite one was Escaped Crusader. Those are just a few. Yeah, so there's a little bit of anyway.
Yeah, I really like the music, I thought it was too.
Good. Yeah, so I also like he actually incorporates, so I did cheat and look at a little bit of the trivia. I'm sorry, but
I'm just so excited
about having seen this movie last night. Apparently, I think it was Matt Reeves was listening to like Nirvana, among other things, as he was like writing this, the script for this. And obviously the Something in the Way song got incorporated into the trailer and the actual movie. And he also uses, I think, at least at one spot, like kind of uses some of the riff from that in the actual score, which I thought was nice. And is Bruce listening to Nirvana in that scene? It was kind of unclear to me. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't
either.
Where it's playing Something in the Way and it like kind of shows some different shots and then it cuts to him in the Batcave. And then the news like comes on, he like turns something down and like the music drops out. Do you remember that? And it's like the news thing. And it was like kind of unclear if he was actually like, if he's like listening to Nirvana while he's working.
No.
No? Okay. Never mind.
I mean, I didn't pick up on it. I'm sure you're, I mean, it's a very detailed recollection, so I'm sure it happened.
I just saw this movie last night.
I don't know, Nirvana songs all that well anyway, so.
Well, it's the one that's in the movie.
Well, yeah, but you tell me that is like telling me who these actors are.
But it's the song that's in the movie. It's the actual song with lyrics that's in the movie from the trailer.
Something in the Way.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, see?
Anyway, that's all I got for the. I think that's. We should just stop here.
We're coming in at an hour and a half.
It's got to be one of our longer episodes. Yeah,
almost,
I agree.
This episode is almost as long as this movie.
Not quite, but.
Half as long. So, all right. Well, anything else? We're doing Tenet next.
Yes, sir.
Or at least that's the plan.
We need to give our ratings, though.
Oh, yeah. Official ratings. Yeah. All right, David.
I mean, I'll drop this into the 9 bucket. I don't know if I'll ever give anything a 10. This one has a couple flaws or just things that I'd like to see differently, so I'm not going to give it a perfect 10, but I will definitely give it a 9.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 9 for me, too. Easily. I was just super impressed by it, despite my initial little joke there. Yeah, I loved it. Thought it was really good. So it's an easy 9 for me.
Yeah, I'll also surprisingly give it a 9. Wow. Very entertaining. Cast is great. Acting is great. Music is great. Not a whole lot of flaws. So 9 out of 10.
Wow, this might be the highest rated movie we've ever had
and agreed about too.
I think this is the first time we've all three given a movie a 9,
probably. So
as far as I know, I don't think The only other movie that I can think of off the top of my head that we might have done that with is Gladiator, but I don't
think I forgot how good Gladiator was.
Did we give Castaway pretty high too? I don't think it was that high, but
we gave Castaway pretty high, but I don't know if we all three gave it nines.
Yeah, I don't think I would have.
I don't think we all three gave Dune a 9, did we?
I doubt it.
I probably gave it an 8.
I probably also gave it an 8.
Yeah, so, I think I...
Yeah. Well, it's a record breaker, so that's good. All right. Yeah. So we think next episode, Tenet.
Yeah.
Yep, next episode should be Tenet.
So, another heavy hitter. I'm probably going to go see Batman again sometime.
Like, I kind of wished I had seen it again
after my test
before we had talked about it, just to refresh my memory. But
when did you see it, Silas? I saw it Thursday night, like opening night.
I think I saw it. It was probably Thursday as well. Thursday or Friday.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we'll plan to do Tenet. Thank you guys for listening. This has been a thriller of an episode over the Batman, high scores all the way around. So thank you guys, and we will talk to you next time on No Sevens Podcast. Peace.